Hello, boys and girls. This is the Big Scary News with your host, Drew Badger, bringing you all the latest up-to-the-minute news and goings-on in the haunt, horror, and Halloween industry. In addition, we have an interview you won't find anywhere else. The Big Scary News is very proudly brought to you by our title sponsor, Froggy's Fog, makers of the finest fog, smoke, snow, and scents. Visit them at froggiesfog.com. And now, boys and girls, don't be scared, because it's time for the Big Scary News.
What do you say we see what's shaking in the outer limits? Now, it may get a little hairy once in a while, but don't let it flip you out.
Hello, everyone. It's Drew Badger. It is episode 138 of the Big Scary News, and I want to do something a little different today. There's been a lot of negative stuff this year with the news regarding haunted houses, a couple of stories I'm sure you've heard about, and most of them have closed for the season, or maybe have one more season left, or one more weekend left. So I just want to talk about some charity haunts and some nonprofits that are making a difference out there this season. Just a little bit of positive news to up the industry here. And we're going to start off with a little news on a nonprofit haunted house making a difference in Richwood, Louisiana, via KNOE.com News 8. Things are getting spooky in Richwood this month, but it's all for a good cause. A local nonprofit is hosting a haunted house. The Southern Youth Movement says all the money will go right back into the community. The nonprofit provides year-round activities for kids in the Richwood area, keeping them busy and out of trouble. Quote, "We've seen a need in our community, a dire need, that our kids basically need something to keep them occupied, something positive, year-round," unquote, explained founder Perro Epting. Epting says the haunted house is a fun way to get the kids involved and fund the activities. The haunted house is open to all ages, even adults. They just have a less spooky version for younger kids and children with disabilities. Organizers say this haunted house is just one way for the community to support the future of Richwood. Quote, "When you support Southern Youth Movement, you're supporting the most precious commodity on earth, and that's children," Epting says. "That's who we serve, that's who we give back to, so we're trying to do our part to help out the community, to better our city and our community." The haunted house is at the Southern Youth Movement building at 5130 Brown Road in Monroe, Louisiana. We also have a little news, this one from the Frightmare compound in Westminster, Colorado. Children of families in need picked through 5,000 costumes last Saturday and got to take home their favorites for free as part of the Frightmare compound's 35th anniversary celebration. The Frightmare compound's owner, Josh Holder, says he's been wanting to give away costumes to kids in need for years. Quote, "It's heartbreaking that you see these little kids that don't have costumes. Some have them and some that don't have anything. We've thought about it for years, and finally we were able to put something together and make it happen," says Holder. The haunted house is celebrating its 35th anniversary, and Holder said they wanted to do so by giving back to the community. Quote, "We wanted to do something different, some way to give back to the community that supported us for the past 35 years. Joe Martinez pitched a tent, claiming his first spot in line at 12:30 a.m. on a Saturday morning. He said he was let go from his job after he became ill and wasn't sure how they'd afford costumes for his kids this year. "My four boys, I'd do anything for them," says Martinez. "That's the reason I got out here so early." Holder says it's taken months to compile all 5,000 costumes for the event. On that Saturday, volunteers helped families sort through the inventory, while other volunteers worked on restocking inventory on the floor. "This is amazing. I literally didn't know if there would be 7 people or 7,000 people. You never know what it's going to happen for the first time for an event," says Holder. We have a little more news. This one from the Scarehouse Pinellas in Pinellas, Florida, via CLTampa.com. "What is it about industrial warehouses that's so creepy? I couldn't tell you, but whatever it is, Mike Lowe of Lowe's Commercial Painting is totally taking advantage of it. For the first time ever, Lowe has converted a 10,000 square foot portion of his Largo warehouse into a new haunted house called Scare House Pinellas. He spent about 6 months setting the place up, building a few walls in the process, and he did it to benefit the SPCA of Tampa Bay, the animal welfare agency that's literally next door. The new walls divide the haunted warehouse into 16 rooms, each featuring a scene from a horror film. I don't want to tell you all the movies represented, but I can tell you that we met Pennywise in person, says the reporter. At Lowe's warehouse, the creep factor extends to the parking lot where they've splattered enough blood to make it look like a murder scene. While waiting to enter the house, the reporter saw a doctor and a nurse run out together, covered in blood, grab a big bottle of bleach, and run back in. What are they doing in there? And yes, the doctor in the background was pulling someone's intestines out. I wouldn't recommend getting operated on by those nut jobs, but I would recommend checking out this haunted house unless you have a serious heart condition. Going to the West Coast, we have this news on a charity haunt in Kirkland, Washington, and this comes to us via Patch.com. Some big haunted houses around Puget Sound will give you a few bucks off the $20 admission if you donate a canned good, but at David Obeltz's haunted house in Kirkland, the cost of entry is just a food donation, and the scares are just as good. Obeltz, who's been building haunted houses since its college days, opened his haunt this past weekend. He's been putting it on locally since 2014. For 2018, he added some new features. You'll have to go to the house to find out what they are. He started doing an indoor haunt after a windstorm in 2014 prevented him from doing an elaborate Halloween display outside his house. He took the show inside and people loved it. Now with hundreds of pieces in his collection, it takes him weeks to set up. 2016 was the first year he started collecting food donations. That year, he got 567 pounds of food. This year, his goal is 2,000 pounds. Quote, "People think of Kirkland as a wealthy community, but you don't have to look too far into the shadows to find significant food insecurity," he said. "There are a few guidelines for donating. No expired food and no open food. Donations should be non-perishable and canned goods you can open without a can opener are preferred. Admission is just one or more pieces per person." Asked why he likes to celebrate so much, Obeltz pauses and says, "The enjoyment I get out of doing this is the enjoyment I give others and supporting a great cause. It's always good to put smiles on other people's faces, even if you give them a heart attack while you do it." Juanita Haunted House is located at 10908 101st Place Northeast in Kirkland, and they are open Halloween from 6:30 to 9 p.m. We have this news on a charity haunt in Minooka, Illinois, via the MorrisHeraldNews.com. The house on Hunter Lane in Minooka is not an ordinary home during the fall. Minooka High School student Michael Peters and his mom Michelle create the four-day haunting experience for those who dare to enter. What normally is a garage is transformed into seven rooms with a squeeze tunnel. The rooms are small and cramped, but that does not stop the actors from terrifying their guests. Many robotic and stationary items fit along with each of the actors. The Doctor, alongside Candy, greets those who dares to enter. Along with Michael Peters, eight other actors, some of his classmates from MCHS, participate in the Minooka haunting. "I enjoy what Michael created. My other son Joey and I participate too," says Michelle, his mother. "They are a great group of responsible kids. Last year, over 500 people visited the Peters home to take in the scares." While Michael Peters has always created a yard display, it wasn't until 4 years ago that he and his mom created a walkthrough experience. "Don't let the yard display, complete with tombstones and a few props, fool you from what lies inside. Our scariest room would have to be the morgue room, which is new for 2018, says Michael. "A morgue room is a gruesome autopsy gone horribly wrong. But what happens in the morgue stays in there. Visitors will be surprised for what happens next." Michael prepares for the haunting by creating a one-of-a-kind experience at least 1 month before visitors enter. For Peters to get the home decorated to his standards, he continues to add little details here and there throughout the month prior to opening. It takes a year for him and his mom to bounce ideas around while creating blueprints for the season. They also have dress rehearsals with the actors to ensure a proper scare. Even though on a rating out of 10, Michael scores his haunting at a 9, he does offer a PG tour for kids and adults that can't handle the regular tour. The kid tour is guided by a friendly actor who has a flashlight where there are no scares and no actors jumping out. Instead, they're standing still while waving to the kids. Michael and Michelle share the Halloween experience with those who dare to enter. To continue supporting the community, they donate all the proceeds to local nonprofit organizations that strive to not only support the community, but also focuses on making a positive impact within the community. To know that MCHS students are volunteering their time to create and work in a haunted house supporting Shorewood Hugs is heartwarming, says Molly Babiak, Shorewood Hugs member. We've chosen to donate to Shorewood Hugs because the ladies are a great group of people who have helped many families and people in the surrounding area, and I'd love to see that keep happening, says Michael Peters. All of the actors are volunteers who gave up their time not only to put a few scares into their guests, but also to raise money for a local nonprofit. We have some news on this charity haunt that we found in Venture, California, via vcstar.com. Two Trees Escape is hosting a charity haunted house with the Kensington Foundation in support of children who have suffered brain damage. Hayes Mays Ventura at 2855 Johnson Drive, Unit D, has more than 5,000 square feet of Halloween mazes. The charity haunted house will be open Thursday through Sunday through October, and of course on Halloween night. Two Trees Escape said in a news release that those who helped build the attraction have worked on Universal Halloween Horror Nights and at Knott's Scary Farm. For more information, you can visit twotreesescaperoom.com and you can help support the Two Trees Escape charity haunt. We've got this news from the House on the Hill Home Haunt in Tarpon Springs, Florida, via cltampa.com. For Tarpon Springs resident Kathleen Barbieri, Halloween is the most wonderful time of the year. One October, about 25 years ago, Barbieri decided to turn her home into a haunted house. With the help of her husband, Barbieri pushed all the furniture to the back of the house and began anew. The couple was frustrated by their inability to have kids at the time, and you could say that the haunted house was a coping mechanism, or at least a welcome distraction. At first, only friends and families visited the homegrown haunted house, but then the neighbors started showing up too. Now the house raises close to $2,000 for charity each year, all by donations. This year, Barbieri's House on the Hill will raise money for Shriners Hospitals for Children, which has a location in Tampa. The couple was busy setting up this year's haunted maze in their backyard with family and friends when the paper visited in mid-September. The front yard already looked like a demented cemetery. As a member of Haunters Hangout, a Facebook group of like-minded scarers and haunted house creators, Barbieri received advice and help from professional haunters, so this isn't your average homegrown haunted maze. The family often crafts their own Halloween accessories from found items rather than buying the usual stock items in stores. The tombstones in their front yard were made from foam boards. The sign out front was what's the headboard from someone's bed. These are the things we expect to see come Halloween. Spooky displays and fake cemeteries in people's front yards. But the really scary stuff, says Kathleen, is the unexpected. That's why Barbieri has invited about 15 to 20 creepy characters, aka scare actors, to jump out at people as they walk through the maze. One year, Barbieri asked her son's friend Christopher to play a dead little boy. On the test walk through the maze, Christopher jumped out in front of her and asked, "Do you want to play hide and seek?" in a super creepy voice. Despite already knowing he'd be there, Barbieri said it still spooked her. Another year, Barbieri asked her niece Megan to dress up in a ghillie suit. "Some guy punched her in the face, he was so scared," she said. "What people really hate," says Barbieri, "are clowns." One year they had two clowns in the maze and a woman ran out hysterically crying, she says. But these are the anomalies. What they get to see every year, says Barbieri, are men hiding behind their wives. Seriously, guys. This year Barbieri asked the people around her what terrified them. The theme is fears and nightmares. And Barbieri has a special surprise waiting for you. So try not to hide behind your wife. And on a final note, I just want to say, if you haven't heard by now, on Halloween, Meat Hook Jim and the Lady of Darkness are getting married and heading off to parts unknown for their honeymoon. The Big Scary Show and Big Scary News wish Meat Hook and the Lady of Darkness all the best and a lifetime of happiness together, and I'm sure we'll hear all the gory details when they return. And that wraps up the news for this episode. Stay tuned for the interview here on The Big Scary News. Do you need fog or snow for your haunted attraction or theatrical event? Are you looking for that perfect haze effect? How about scents to give your haunt that extra realism? If you answered yes to any of these, then you need to head over to froggiesfog.com and check out their line of world-famous frog juice, haze juice, artificial snow, and bubble juice. Whether you're a home hunter buying a gallon a year or a major theme park buying 25,000 gallons a year, you can be certain that your satisfaction is their highest priority. They have everything you need when it comes to the highest quality fog and haze fluids. If you're looking for that perfect low-lying stage fog, the longest-lasting water-based fog, the right haze juice for your machine, a bubble juice that outperforms the rest, or a snow juice that evaporates after floating 30 feet, Froggy's Fog has that and so much more. Froggy's Fog also has scent additives that are compatible with any water-based fog, haze, snow, and bubble fluid. For more information, visit froggiesfog.com. That's froggiesfog.com.
Hey, this is Tater. Come buy your fog from me, because if you don't, I'll be homeless.
And ladies and gentlemen, it's the end of the 2018 Halloween season. If you'll notice, Big Scary News is posted early this week, primarily because I wanted to kind of get this up in time for Halloween. And, you know, as I look back on the year that was, it's been an interesting one. And I do have a very special guest with me on the phone right now, all the way in Mexico, that is Mexico, Missouri. I have Brian Foreman on the line from Haunt Topic Radio, who runs a haunt and has a great podcast with his partner, Daryl. And Brian, how you doing, man?
Oh, no, it's been a great October. It's where we are recording right now. On a Monday, and my last haunt night was on Saturday.
So yep.
I'm on the decompression level now.
Yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to do. You know, the news this week was basically a bunch of positive stories. You know, there's been some negative stuff that's happened this season. Don't really want to get into too much of that. You know, I'm sure the next Roundtable of Terror that we talk about on the regular show will discuss the year that was. So, but, you know, for you, you know, and for somebody who, like myself, you know, we're both podcasters, you're Haunt Topic, we're Big Scary Show, we do this year-round, but the fact that you also do a haunted house, this has got to be kind of a weird time. You know, we're recording this the Monday before Halloween. Like you just said, your season is over and you're in that decompression mode. How is it knowing that you basically start building in the spring and through the summer, and then in the fall you're hiring and training, and then for however many glorious nights during October, you're open, and then all of a sudden, bam, it's over.
Yeah, that's the hard part. It's almost like you're going from fifth gear to neutral. You know, you're driving a car, everything's boom, 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 and all of a sudden you're just, now what? You have a schedule, you know, like you said, you know, right after all the major haunt shows around April and May, that's when we go build our build phase anyway. And it's been that way. I work full time, you know, a 40-hour job. So you squeeze it in the evenings, you do it on the weekends, your days off, some holidays. You know, who has Labor Day? We're out on Labor Day, you know. No heat and air conditioning in the warehouse, just sweating, sweat, build. And really, it's just kind of like a snowball, and you don't realize how high fast you're going or what you've been putting off. And so this, in the last couple of days, I just sat down like, man, sitting on the house looking like, oh, I need to do that, I need to do that. So I haven't got Halloween decorations up in my house. I just now put some big spider and a wow poster, a clown wow poster on the front door. And it's a pumpkin. That's what I have for my, you know, decorations for Halloween this year. So might light up some jack-o'-lanterns and do some carving tomorrow night. But it's like with the painter's house is never finished because he's always worried about painting everyone else's houses. So it's just a different, I think, like we talked before we got on the call, it's like, I feel like there's haunting of different chapters, you know. You got the down, kind of like this phase here where you're kind of thinking about things that happened over the year. Just give yourself some creative time just to relax and let it all kind of settle. We're going to have a actor party November 10th for all of our actors and stuff to come out. And kind of like a pop-up, you give awards. But there's different phases of haunting. You know, your creative phase, just kind of thinking about things, and then you have your design phase where you start putting stuff on paper. Then we have a meeting of the minds where we get all the actors and the owners and everybody, the artists, to figure out what we need, what we need to change, and then we start going into the build process. So, but like you, you know, I never really stop haunting. Then I'll just start doing more interviews, and we'll do more trainings, and we'll do more stuff online, and my wife just loves it. Telling you, so.
Oh, I'm sure. Do you put Haunt Topic kind of on the back burner during October when, you know, the Dead Factory's up and running full swing? Or does Daryl take it over? Or?
Well, then now Daryl, he's haunting in Edmonton, Canada, at the Edmonton Haunted House up there. And I think he's kind of moved up the ranks a little bit. He's a scare actor manager there, and also plays a scare actor, so his October is completely booked too. So, like our last podcast episode was September 1st, and but I have, like, I've been doing bits and pieces of interviews and music and stuff, and I just haven't finished everything, because it's almost like once I start going to hot and build mode, it's so hard to switch gears creatively, to focus on both at the same time. So it's like, and it seems like as soon as I set time aside, something for the hot pops up. It's either, you know, a wiring needs to be done, or lighting, you know, something broke, or we need to order the supplies, or we got to order the, you know, the shirts or the postcards. There's always something that pops up. So I kind of just take October to just let it simmer down, and then actually got some podcasts all lined up for November.
Oh, so fantastic. We certainly look forward to hearing Haunt Topic getting back into the swing of things. You know, we put stuff out every week, and, you know, it can be a chore because, you know, Meat Hook Jim gets married on Halloween, so he's going to be gone for a week on his honeymoon, and Jerry does his thing, and Storm does his thing, and I do my thing, and it's difficult, but, you know, for one glorious month in October, we're all doing these cool haunts, we're visiting things, we're seeing stuff and all that, and, you know, you may not know, but we usually bank a couple of shows in September, especially roundtables, just so we can have something to publish, because just getting together is just impossible, like you said. You know, in October, you're in full haunt mode, and the rest of us are too. You know, my daughters work at a haunted house here, about 20 minutes down the road, and, you know, got to see them work. Last night was their last night working. The haunt is open, I believe, on Halloween still, but my girls can't work it because it's a school night, so we're kind of in that take a break, because they've been working for the last few weeks every Friday and Saturday night. So, yeah, I know completely, you know, sympathize with you and empathize with a lot of these haunt owners out here. You know, I've been watching the social medias last night and today, especially for the ones that closed on Saturday. And, you know, we're seeing all the, oh, thank you, everybody. Best year yet. You know, oh, despite the rain, we've had a great season. Thank you to all our customers and clients. And, you know, it's good to see haunts like that posting out there like that, how great their season was and how they couldn't do it without everybody coming and visiting. I know you're indebted, I'm sure, to all the fans that come to Missouri to see your haunt and hang out and have a good time and all that. And, you know, you wouldn't do it, or you couldn't do it if it wasn't for those folks.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's what keeps, you know, a lot of my actors and staff and me going is the good reviews, the people that are coming, you know, which we try to survey, not to survey it, but, hey, how did you guys have time? And as they're exiting, and we'll talk to them about what they like, what they didn't like, if they had any problems. And, I mean, just the positive feedback, you know, verbally, plus leaving, you know, reviews on our Facebook page and Google. I mean, they're great. That's what, and then I'll share those with my actors in our actor Facebook group. And, you know, everybody goes crazy over there. It's like, actors are the best. And that one guy in the, as a cannibal, you know, and I share with him personally. He's like, oh, my God. You know, so just giving back to the actors, I mean, that's what makes your show, you know, they can, you know, you have, of course, you know, animatronics have a place. We use more, those more distractions than anything, but you know, we have a good crew of actors every year. This is our fourth year, so we have a lot of returning actors. We picked up some new actors that are doing awesome. You never know quite how they turn out. And it's almost about getting them in the right role, too. It's like, they may not be fitting over here, but give them a second shot and try them in a different spot, and they just come alive. I'm like, yes.
Nice.
You found your role. So, a lot of good energy this year.
What was the mood Saturday night when the last customer had gone through and the actors were getting out of costume, getting out of makeup? Was it general relief that the season was over? Were they just exhausted? Were they just, you know, didn't want it to end? What, you know, I know how I feel when I was working at Scarewinds or working at other haunts, you know, when I'm taking that makeup off for the last time, you know, how were your actors, or what was the mood, the atmosphere at the Dead Factory?
A little bit of mix of all of it. We had actors, especially the ones over there, every single night. You know, we have some part-timers too, but the ones that have been there, they're like, oh, I'm so exhausted. I'm like, I know! This is the last weekend. They're like, I know! And then you go check on me about an hour into the show. I'm like, oh, I love this! This is my spot! This is great! You know, but afterwards, and we actually ran later, we stopped selling tickets at 11, and we pushed our last group through around midnight. It was one of our busiest nights. We actually had a 2-hour wait. That was the longest we've ever had.
Wow.
So we had, so they were there after the show, and a lot of them were like, is it have to end? Can we just keep doing this? and it was, and we have, you know, we have some younger kids, 16, 17, 20-year-olds. But we have my dad's 68, and he's still pushing it. He's still doing it. And he was there every single night, doesn't complain, comes back for more. I'll have a check on the dad, you need a break? No, I'm good. I got my water. All right.
Okay.
So Drew, how was your season doing scare acting training this year?
My season was down a little bit because I had three hurricanes come through the Carolinas, and I had, you know, when Florence passed through here, I had workshops scheduled for those weekends, and they had to cancel, obviously, for weather related problems, and we just couldn't reschedule. I had two clients cancel on me outright. I had a third that was desperately trying to reschedule me, and they couldn't make it work because the only time they were open, I was already out of state doing another workshop. So I was three clients down this year, primarily because of weather. But the ones that I did visit, I was in North and South Carolina, I was in Delaware, I was in New Jersey, and, you know, actor training workshops, fantastic. I've gotten nothing but great reviews from the owners. I just posted a new review on my website today about, I'm just posted a new review that I got from a haunt owner in Jersey, and, It was an okay season. I got to act out. I got to work with my daughters at the haunt they work at a couple times, and that was fun. And like you, I'm just kind of like, I'm sitting back. I'm kind of relaxing. I've got Halloween coming up on Wednesday. My wife's uncle has a home haunt. We're going to go out there. The kids are going to have one last blast of Halloween. We go out there and we scare people. They have this long winding path to get to that you have to get off the road in order to walk this path in order to get to the table where the candy and the goodies are, and we will have my kids strategically placed along that path for various trick-or-treaters. So it's fun to do that, and we've been doing that the last few years, so you know, that's kind of a Halloween tradition for us. And then we can finally say Halloween is over. You know, you've got kids. What are your plans for Halloween itself?
See, my youngest is 10, and so he's still in the trick-or-treating phase. So he will. A lot of times I didn't have time to spend with them. So this year, actually, go out trick-or-treating with them. We're going to hit all the cool events, walk through the neighborhood. And of course, he wants to be home in time to pass out candy because he likes to see the other costumes too.
Oh, cool.
So, probably no big scares in the yard or anything. Unlike I used to, because I used to be a home haunter.
Right.
And all my time was spent decorating the garage, and Kay would hand out candy then. But I was always, we always try to get him done early, so I'd come back and, start the home haunt at 7 or whatever.
Sure.
But now we're not even open. Definitely actually not open on Halloween because a lot of my staff have kids that have want to trick or treat. I have some young kids too that help out. So I think we did one year. It was our second year. We did a Halloween. We opened the Death Factory up without any actors, and we just turned out on all the cool lights and the fog and opened it up just for a general walkthrough, and then we get candy at the end, and we only charged like $5, you know, for them to go through, and it was, that was a pretty good turnout. But I think we're going to try to do something next Halloween at the Death Factory where we're going to do something like that, maybe bring, a trunk or treat would be cool out in our parking lot or not. Someone's mentioned that. They have like some apple cider, games, kettle corn, and do different stuff for the kids maybe next year. A lot of people are on the Facebook page asking about that. Because when you start asking about things, you might want to start incorporating into your home.
Oh, absolutely. Do we know if what day of the week October 31st is next year? Is it a Thursday? Is it a Friday?
That's on a Thursday next year.
So that's not too bad. We'll have to definitely.
Yeah, so what I might do next year is stay open that October. We might open up for Halloween for kids on that Thursday and then do a normal operations on Friday and Saturday that weekend.
Well, there you go.
Since they're so close together, that's how we might go next year.
Sure. So let me ask you, so we can start winding this down, will Haunt Topic Radio, I believe you're making a presence at HauntCon, will that be the next show you and or Daryl attend? Are there any local, like, horror cons or anything like that going on between now and then that you'll be visiting?
That will be our next show. HauntCon will be in January. We're excited. They had a good time last year. They're got a booth. I'm not sure what the number is, but I think we're going to miss you guys again.
I wasn't able to attend last year. You know, Meat Hook Jim did a very, very good job checking out and covering the event. I'm hoping to make it this year. I believe he's coming down as well again. So we'll just have to get together, so especially if we're going to be sharing, you know, or being next to each other in the booth space and all that. We'll definitely have to get together and do a little hanging out in the Big Easy come January.
Right, Hot Topic Radio on the Big Scary Show are supposed to be holding some roundtable sessions on the floor. So we got to talk about that, too.
Yes, don't want to give away too much now. Yes, there's some big news coming up between our respective shows and HauntCon that we'll certainly have to relate to the general public when the time is right.
Cliffhanger.
Yeah, there we go. And we're going to leave it on a cliffhanger here. So, Brian, I want to wish you a big happy Halloween for you and your family and to Daryl and his family as well. Give a plug out for the Dead Factory and to Haunt Topic Radio for all the people out there who may or may not be familiar with it.
Okay, well, Dead Factory Haunted House is in Mexico, Missouri, 2100 East of Liberty. You can find everything you need to know at deadfactory.com or on Facebook page. We do a lot of stuff there at Dead Factory Haunt. And Haunt Topic Radio, me and Bill do that. You can find everything at haunttopic.com. And we have monthly episodes right now, usually an hour to 2 hours long sometimes. All the different kind of music we can throw in there. And, yeah, there's an archive of a bunch of shows at haunttopic.com. When you're listening to Big Scary Show, just pop some Haunt Topic in.
There you go. You know, I like what you guys do. You know, you guys get, you know, we scratch the surface on a lot of topics. You get into deeper topics for a show, and that's what we love about it. So, you know, Brian, again.
Yeah, and we're going to change things up a little bit this year, too. We're going to start diving deeper into haunt owners and a lot of scare actors. We're going to try to get a lot of those on and dive into like an hour or so episode was just with that one owner talking about everything.
Oh, nice.
Acting, marketing, just trying to tear it apart, dig into the brain a little bit, try to get more value out of them. So,
fantastic.
That's why I like listening to you guys, too, because you cover stuff that I would never even think about, like shows, different shows that I've never even come across, and, you know, people that I'm like, oh, that's cool. That's a different, yeah, different types of vendors, different types of horror actors, and then doing some, you know, sprinkle of hot goodness as well. So I get all kinds of different ideas from your podcast.
We appreciate it. You know, we tell a lot of people about you guys. We hope you do the same. And, Brian, I want to thank you for taking the time to come and just kind of reflect a little bit on the 2018 season, especially in regards to your haunt. Once again, folks, visit deadfactory.com for information on his haunt and Haunt Topic Radio, a very fine podcast out there. And Brian Foreman, we'll definitely be checking you out in the Big Easy in January. Somebody from the Big Scary Show will be there. Hopefully I will, and hopefully maybe Jim, hopefully Jerry, maybe even Storm. You never know. But we're definitely going to need to get together soon and discuss some of the things that are going on then. But once again, folks, thank you again for taking the time to listen to the Big Scary News. We hope you'll tune in next week to the regular Big Scary Show. Even though Halloween is technically over, you know, we like to do this year-round, as does Haunt Topic Radio. And we do it for you guys. Once again, Drew Badger here. This is the Big Scary News.
We'd like to thank the Ghastly Ones for laying down the tunes for this show. Also, we'd like to thank once again Froggy's Fog for being our title sponsor. Froggy'sFog.com. Make sure to check out the Big Scary Show next week for even more news, music, rants, phobias, interviews, the Round Table of Terror, and so much more at our redesigned website, BigScaryShow.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and Facebook and stay on top of everything happening in the world of haunts, horror, and Halloween. Once again, this is Drew Badger saying good night.